for cutting off that amazing song from Techno, but that has now been adopted as our theme song. I love it. It's a great song. So this is Weeba Boor on Power Solutions on Nigeria Info 99.3 for another great show talking about the solutions to our power problems and not the problem itself. And today we have a special guest from Schneider Electric, which is a global French firm that operates in Nigeria and is doing a lot of work in the power space, often behind the scenes because of the type of business they're in. So his name is Ifeanyi Udo, and he's the head of strategy and business development for Schneider in Nigeria. So welcome to the show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
All right. He's still like moving to the music. So now we need to start getting serious now. So Ifeanyi, good to have you here today. Tell us about your story. You've been in Schneider, you said, I think you told me, 6 years. Yes. How did your career develop that you ended up, playing such a big role in this international firm here in Nigeria that's doing so much for the power sector? So walk us through your story.
Thank you very much, Doctor. My story, I think the choice of career, the path I took, has been largely shaped from the country where I was born, and that is here in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I remember finishing my first degree and deciding on the next path. What next
do that I was here?
No, I finished my first degree in Eastern Europe.
Oh, really? Okay.
And on conclusion, I wanted to also continue. And then mm-hmm. the choice of the master's and the next step mm-hmm. that I needed to take, I was thinking, okay, what should I do to that would be very useful for me to mm-hmm. to be part of the solution in the country? Mm-hmm. And that was when I started looking at different options. Is it supposed to be something in the power space with mm-hmm. the renewable energy trying to come up? Mm-hmm. Is that then, or do I venture into medical technology and a few other things as an engineer? And then, yes, I ventured straight into the renewable energy space. Mm-hmm. Finished my master's degree in that space. That was in France. And then joined Schneider immediately afterwards.
So in France?
In France. Yes. Okay. So I was working in the R&D department, where we are very active, developing many of the hybrid solutions, focusing largely in new economics, emerging countries, Africa, South Asia, mm-hmm. South America, trying to leverage all the technological trends to make sure that we were solving these power problems those that are predominantly off-grid. So after a couple of years working in the space and also playing as well with electric cars as at then and induction charging, several years ago, we said, okay, look, my hope and my ambition was always to be back mm-hmm. in Nigeria to see how we can fix this problem from ground up and not just be working from afar. This was what prompted me to come back home. And since then, it's been a lot of interesting challenge, hard work, and meeting people, trying to really create awareness as much as we can. So I remember coming on ground. At first, Schneider has always been active in this space.
Okay. In power.
So we launched, in power in general, but also in this whole energy asset space as well. Right. So a little while with the team in France, we launched the program that we called then Bebop.
Okay.
Which today we call Access to Energy. So initially business innovation for people at the base of the pyramid. Today we call it Access to Energy. So
I think Access to Energy is a little simpler.
Exactly. But it's a very focused. I think of all our global competitors, mm-hmm. we're one of the few that is very, very passionate and very mm-hmm. focused in this space. So it's not just a business. It's something that we do top mm-hmm. down to make sure that we bring as much impact to mm-hmm. those that need it the most. Mm-hmm. So here we try to be very innovative and disruptive mm-hmm. with the solutions that we bring. Mm-hmm. And also we think about different ways to build capacity. So mm-hmm. we look after training different people from unskilled electricians mm-hmm. to the people that are trying to invest in this, to those that just need to know how to use power.
Right.
And helping them even go further than that, so to mm-hmm. even assess other kinds of skills like entrepreneurship skills as well, mm-hmm. to be able to build a business out of
it.
And in addition to that, we have the investment arms that helps to invest in these companies and startup, and many African companies have actually benefited from this as well.
And that's a for-profit investment. That's not just
it's a real. So we had to set this up, and this. Three pillars that I mentioned are almost independent, and they do this for business. So yes, the investment fund that we have is Energy Access Venture.
Okay.
So they are based out of Kenya, but operating across Africa, and they've invested in almost 30 plus companies across Africa.
Okay.
Some of them are actually very active here in Nigeria. Okay. Some names that you would know very well as well. So So yes, they've been very active, very successful, printing over 100 million, if I'm not mistaken, and we're about to even create yet another fund to be much more aggressive in making sure that people get the energy access. So, so yes, coming back to the country, for me, we are active initially in the space in form of CSR, and we realized that, look, there is a bigger market here. That
in energy access initially was CSR.
Exactly. Okay. And we realized there's a bigger market here in the country that we need to find a way to unbottle, because there are lots of bureaucracy involved in trying to get the people to understand what we are bringing to the table, what the government as well, the role that they need to play in order to make this work. And if you're trying to involve many other donor funding, the process even becomes a lot longer. Right. So the question was, how do we make this more accessible, more rapid, and to be able to go faster than we are as of then?
So it moved from a CSR program to a business opportunity.
And a sustainable venture at that. Yeah. So one of the first things that we try to do to sort of unbottle this whole process around was working very closely with Bank of Industry and a couple of mini grid developers then. So that was GVE Energy and Co.
Right.
We provided them the whole engineering training, the drawing. We worked with them closely to design the first few mini grid projects. We were even on site to support them in the installation, the commissioning. Mm-hmm. And redefine the business model entirely. And today is becoming the template for many others to follow.
Right. Okay. So you guys have been part of this since it started. But let's step back. So Schneider Electric, I learned today, is a French company. I somehow thought it was a German company. But I think you said it was a 180-year-old company.
Yes, Schneider, Schneider Electric has been around for a while. We are much more multinational than many. So yes, it's originally a French company, but lots of acquisition over these few years or several years. With acquisition in US, in Africa, even in Asia, in Europe, across Europe, and even in Germany. And all these acquisitions was really to strengthen us or to enable us to be the leaders that we are today in energy management.
Okay. Across the board, on-grid, off-grid, every type of power.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And automation as well. So this cuts across four main end markets. So these are the buildings with the residential, the data centers and IT. Infrastructure as well, where we are quite active, and then the industries. So all these people benefit from different solutions. And here we are the leaders in making sure that they get the best and leveraging, of course, the whole digital transformation that we see across the world today.
So Schneider Electric in most power systems is a little bit hidden because you're kind of the equipment behind the equipment. So people don't see you or hear your brand. But what are some of the brands that you own that you actually people know about? I think you mentioned the UPS brand.
Yes. Depending on the division and the segment, we do have a lot of product brands that that become very common in the market. So yes, in the IT, with there we acquired the APC by UPS by Schneider Electric today.
Not the political,
not the political party. Yes. So this is American Power Conversion.
Oh, that's product. What it stands for. I never
exactly.
knew.
Okay. So it's an American acquisition that we use to address this market. Okay. And yes, we also have the Guto UPSs as well, which is mainly tailored to the industrial market as well. And in the solar space, we had the acquisition of Xantrex.
Okay.
It's Xantrex Inverters, today called a Connect Inverter. And in switch and socket, we have different beautiful products from the Unica product, the Actinines, many of them Listed Echoes and Co. So these are very beautiful stuff that we have. And from one segment to another, we do have a lot of these products that people use in their homes and in their businesses as well.
Right. So now talk to me. We were chatting ahead of the show, and you were talking about that there's a lot that about the solution to the power problem that isn't even about generating new power and all that. It's actually better managing what you already have. So talk to me a bit about that. Let's particularly maybe in someone's house, in a typical household in Nigeria, what can they do without spending money and adding power? What can they do to actually get more out of what they already have?
Thank you. This is a very, very big challenge that I've seen today in the country. Many a times we usually think that the solution to our power problem is more power.
Right.
And we...
It's one of the solutions.
Yeah, yeah. But the truth today is that we need to also start paying attention to the quality of power, and this plays into the whole energy efficiency talk as well. So it's very important for us to be very, very energy efficiency conscious, because what you save is what it adds money to your pocket, and right. It's something that you've generated for the next person to use. So yes, if you take a typical building, mm-hmm. With all the power fluctuations that you do have in your building, many of these power fluctuations that you have that leads eventually to a power failure or fire hazard, mm-hmm. many of this comes from the building itself. So it depends on the equipment that you are using and how you're using them. Mm-hmm. So what is more important is for you to start looking at what is happening behind the scene. Okay. What is the nature of the equipment itself? Do you have a lot of motors? What is the startup current that mm-hmm. is in these motors? What is the operating speed? How are they operating? Mm-hmm. Because by virtue of being able to control this, you could easily save more than 50% of your energy consumption.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So before we start bringing in more power, we need to address that first. Okay, but it's also a safety issue, it sounds like.
It's a very big safety issue as well, and that's very true. I mean, I know that many people would have invited one electrician or the other mm-hmm. to come and look at, let's take for example, your fridge breaks down.
Right.
And then you call an electrician to come and look into your house to see, okay, how can I fix this fridge? And they spend days. And even weeks mm-hmm. just trying to not only fix the fridge but avoid the problem from repeating itself again. And right. the same thing happens to businesses.
Right.
So you're in a big commercial buildings and then there is an issue. And mm-hmm. then you spend weeks and weeks just trying to identify the issue and the person keeps billing you each time they come.
Right.
So when it comes to safety, one thing that is very critical is to at least start to unbottle the black box mm-hmm. that exists when you look at your electrical distribution panel. Right, so right. here we try to really digitize everything to make it very visible so that when an issue occurs, you know exactly where the mm-hmm. issue has occurred.
You're not guessing.
Without yeah. guessing. And yeah. you know what might have caused it. What is the direction of the issue? Is it coming from the equipment? Is it coming from the grid? Mm-hmm. And what was the nature of the electrical network at mm-hmm. the point of that issue when it occurs, so that with right. this you're able to fix it once and for all. Because eventually we need to look at our electrical network as going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. When you're sick, mm-hmm. you don't just take Panadol or paracetamol just to fix everything that right, we right. all like to do. So what we end up needing to do is to have to go back to the hospital to get a specialist to diagnose us. So mm-hmm. they'll tell us, okay, yes, you're having headaches, and headache is because of ABC. This right. is what is causing the headache. Right. And for that reason, you need this
right.
to be able to fix it. And the same thing is applicable to electrical networks. So right. when you have issues on your network that could potentially lead to fire outbreak or breakdown on your equipment or any other thing, mm-hmm. it's important to have the proper diagnosis on that network so that you're able to fix it permanently.
Right.
And by so doing, you save a lot on OPEX, yep. the operational yeah. cost. Right. So in spite of the fact that you're saving on safety, you're also saving on your bottom line.
Right.
You're saving money in your right. operation. And with this extra revenue that you make from saving money, you can reinvest it in your business
right.
to
right.
grow the business yeah. eventually.
So what are the questions that consumers should ask an electrician to make sure that they're getting the right advice and that they're actually trained the right way?
All right. So these solutions would vary depending okay. on the segment.
Okay. okay. Okay.
So when you're in building segments, mm-hmm. The kind of things that you look out for would vary slightly mm-hmm. when okay. you're now speaking to an industrial segment or a large agri space, for example.
Okay.
So when I'm in the residential segment, one thing that many people do not consider when they are even setting up the electrical panels is something as simple as residential circuit breaker.
Okay.
And here I'm getting a bit technical.
That's
but
fine. You know what? One thing, Nigerians are probably, as a people, know more about power than any other country in the world.
And I'm not surprised.
we all own our own gencos and discos. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But okay. they are simple equipment mm-hmm. that allow, that trips anytime you have current leakages that leads to electrocution. Mm-hmm. So okay. I don't know if you've experienced this, but I have. Where you're in the shower and you touch your and the water is flowing, or you touch any metal equipment that you have in your building and it starts to shock you a little mm-hmm. bit. Mm-hmm. So these things are a result of one power leakage or the other, and they are very simple devices that should be installed at your electrical distribution panel to protect you from such leakages.
Right.
And today is not yet the standard in the country, so as a result, there is less adaptation. So as a consumer, one important thing that at least we should start paying attention, or whenever we have an electrician coming into our house, is, okay, Mr. Electrician, what are you trying to install? What are you trying to fix? Mm-hmm. Is it possible for me to remotely see mm-hmm. or locally see from even my tablet mm-hmm. or my phone how mm-hmm. these things are performing? Am I right. able to know when the issue occurs, which breaker is being overloaded, so that I don't have to wait to see fire or smoke in my DB just before fixing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And those fire and smokes, they lead to many issues as well. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. The data today shows that, is it more than 60% of many fire hazards in the country state comes from electricity sources, electrical origin.
So
these things are very important. So we need to start putting their expectations forward towards the region, so that they too can be able to step up in what they are providing. And by virtue of knowing that you know what you need, they are able to deliver to you on something of quality. And that's the second important thing that I would need to pay attention to. So what is the quality of this this equipment that they are putting in my house? Is it of the right rating? Is it of the right source? Or is it just another fake product? So these things are very important to address. And when you are an industrial customer, it's a little bit different. And maybe here I'll use a very good example to buttress this. So a few weeks ago, one of my colleagues was invited by a nice agri-processing plant in Ibadan. They went there. They invited us, actually, to help them have a nice solar hybrid solution to be able to optimize their fuel cost. On looking through, they have tons of motors across their network, across the plant. And the first thing we told them is, okay, look, it's nice for you to have a solar hybrid solution, but even before you go as far as trying to implement this, there are many things that we could do with you to drop down your consumption significantly. I think they have over 500 kV, or either 500 kV or one MVA genset for the whole facility. And then we worked with them to pick one motor as a pilot, install the nice variable speed drives at the back of this motor. And within a few days of operation, they saw and experienced 70% drop on the consumption on that motor. Now imagine what it would mean for them across the whole 40, and what it would also mean for them in terms of their generation capacity, because it means that they wouldn't need 500 kVA to keep their plant alive. They would need to maybe reinstall another 100 kVA or even 80, a lot less than to keep the whole facility alive. And it's not the same fuel consumption. What a big genset consumes in fuel is way different from what a small one would consume. And by the time they then add the renewable energy contribution in form of solar or wind or any other thing, the savings even becomes a lot more significant. And there are many facilities across Nigeria with this kind of problem.
Which is strange, because we have such a power problem, yet we're also completely inefficient in the power that we have. Okay, so we're multiplying the problem in an unnecessary way.
And this goes from place to place. In a building like this, there are very simple devices that we could put with the right presence sensors and motion sensors. And a building management solution, you will be able to at least automate the lights. We can go as far as automating your lights based on the ambient light. So we're able to adjust the output on your lights based on the light coming from outside. So with this, you're even efficient on the use of light. And if nobody is there, why keep it on? You can control your ACs. You can control many other things. So by managing the power flow, how things are used, when they are used, you'd end up seeing significant savings on your books, much more than you would think.
Without any new investment.
Exactly.
All right. So now, but tell me though, are you seeing improvements in how people are deploying sort of power systems in buildings and factories, households? You know, is it moving in the right direction, or is there still a lot of education that needs to be done?
I believe there's a lot of education that needs to be done. And we are not trying to relent. And this is why I'm really happy about what you're doing, Dr. Weber, in organizing this kind of talks to make people more aware about what is feasible and what they should do. And the reality is that many people are not really aware about most of these issues. And as a result, what they need to do to fix it. On our own part, we are trying our best to create more awareness. One of the things that we recently launched was a training program. So actually today is a kickoff for electrician training program where we identify lots of, we is an open one. We invite lots of unskilled electricians to come through a training, very subsidized, 2 days, 3 days course, to be aware about some of the things that they need to do in terms of best practice. A couple of weeks ago was a solar training academy that we launched with GIZ and AFD to be able to roll out multiple training solutions as well. And more importantly, for the end users, there is a lot more awareness that needs to be done, because we need to help them be more efficient in the use of power so that they can focus on their core business. And that is very important. So yes, I see some move, but
you're impatient.
I'm very impatient. Yeah, yeah, yes, yeah. about these issues, yeah. And there's so much more that can be done, and right. And it's very important for us to all work together to see how we enable them understand the issues and what we need to do to at least fix it, because we are so far. Mm-hmm. We are so far from where we could be, and right. There are so many things that could be done. I mean, I spent time in Europe, and I realized how socially dependent they are in terms of for the government to do many right. things for them. Right. And here in Nigeria, growing up, what we saw, or at least what I experienced, was the fact that my parents were able to, without depending on anybody, make ends meet to send right. us to school. Yeah. They were able to put in the work that they needed to do the trade and everything to be able to educate. And we see that happening with different people. So there is less dependency mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. government mm-hmm. as opposed to just enabling the environment. Right. People right. try to create their power, like you rightly right. mentioned, right. pump their waters and do many other things. So if we're able to still fix this power problem, mm-hmm. then there will be so much more innovation that would start happening around many other things that
right.
we
because it enables to. Every other sector.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So yes, I get very impatient.
Okay.
And I really want us to work together.
All right. I think Zainab wants us to go to the phone lines. So Zainab, can you share the numbers, please? Okay, we're still waiting for the numbers. So while we're waiting for that, is it coming? Okay.
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
All right. So while we're waiting for calls, one of the things I'd want to ask you now is, obviously, you know, we talked about, okay, a lot of this can there can be some kind of pull by consumers. Either household or industrial, that, you know, you're demanding better service and better products. But what is the role of the government in sort of regulation to make sure that we focus more on safety and energy efficiency? But before you answer that, let's go to the first call. Oh, okay, I guess you can answer it. All right, go ahead. The call dropped. Okay.
So yes, if we want to do things at scale, it's always nice to have the government involved. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I think, I believe we should be thinking about is having the right policies in place.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take the call. Hello, good morning. What's your name and what's your question?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is Mr. Michael calling from First Tax.
Okay, what's your question?
Yeah, the question is not really a question. I really want to thank you for the exposure that you are giving to most of us. Well, a lot of persons have this kind of idea, initiative, like partaking these solar panels and the rest of it. But how to see how to work with it or how to facilitate it to really help people that really need it so much is really a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like myself, in terms of these solar panels and the rest, I'm an expert in it. But getting people along, getting people to really key into it, mm-hmm. to really know the benefit of how it can help us in terms of our electrical, our power sector. It's really a problem.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I want, don't know. Can you, you said you've been giving all this seminar and the rest. As you said, you want to subsidize it to people. How can somebody reach you? Because I'm trying to see how we can, if I can get to you and see how we can collaborate.
So Ifeanyi, how can he find out more about the programs you offer and get involved?
Okay, so
Schneider, we have a front office here in Lagos, mm-hmm. so full subsidiary with team of engineers and capable hands as well. So what you can do is to start following us on social media, where we put up many of these announcements mm-hmm. about training events that we organize, and mm-hmm. with that we can be able to transfer the right competency as well to you and mm-hmm. enable you win more customers over.
Okay, and what's your Twitter handle, for example? How do they find you on social media?
Okay, so today we've managed to at least reduce most of our to simplify our website. So on our website you can follow us at you can look us up at Schneider Electric se.com.
Okay.
Okay. Or simply se.com. So okay. At least that makes it easy. That would be our website.
That's Super Eagles, though. SE is Super Eagle. Okay. Schneider Electric. Okay.
Yeah, right. SE.com. There you can find different information on our offers and products. Otherwise, you can follow us at Schneider Nigeria. Mm-hmm. At Schneider Nigeria. That will be the Twitter handle.
Okay.
And on LinkedIn, you can always find me, and you have lots of wonderful posts that we bring up on LinkedIn.
So, right, if you follow them on social media and check their website, you'll be able to hear about all of these programs they're doing to try and upskill electricians and also create awareness on solar and so on. But so I think we're almost out of time. So I'd like you to finish up with that question about what can the government do to drive this to make sure that, you know, there's energy efficiency, there's safety, everything is part of the way we build and construct.
Okay, so there are many aspects that we believe we can start collaborating with the government in order to hasten what needs to be done in this space. And one of them is having the right policies in place to be able to combat fake, improve local competence and local content as well. This is very important. Today, the importation of finished product into the country is usually much cheaper than the spares and the raw materials to be able to assemble this in the country. And I can give you lots of examples, and maybe we can discuss this at a different date. The other important thing as well is to be able to ensure that maybe many of these people that are going into this kind of space, whether it's as an electrician or an expert in solar, have the basic certifications as well. So that with this, we start to build standards and certifications around the solutions that are being deployed.
Right.
And obviously trying to be able to measure and gauge at the port, the quality and the ratings of this product coming through the port as well.
Right.
And more importantly, trying to have the enabling environment to attract more investment as well.
Right. Okay. Into this space. So there's simple steps the government can do. But, we have one more call. Okay. One quick call before Zainab kicks us out. All right. Please turn your radio down.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. What's your name and your question?
Name is Ben,
very quickly.
I'm calling from Lagos.
Okay.
I just wanted to get what he said. Did he say that finished products into Nigeria are cheaper than assembling them here?
Okay. This is very specific example that I may be giving right now. It's not all finished products.
He's giving you a specific example.
Some finished product. In electrical panels, for example, as of the last time I checked, as of this year, it's slightly cheaper in terms of the duty that you pay at the port to bring a finished electrical panels, as opposed to trying to bring in some of the components and assemble it.
Wow.
However, there are lots of innovations that have been done when we assemble these things together in the country. And we've been able to train lots of companies to be able to assemble different electrical panels and customize it for different applications. So this is one way in which many things can be addressed with the government as well.
All right.
And I'm sure they are working at it.
Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, we can't take the remaining calls. We're going to have to. But I think, Ifeanyi, you're going to have to come back. We're going to have you back on the show soon. Because I think there's a lot of expertise we need to pull out, and our listeners will love to learn from. But thank you so much for coming. So, any final words? In 3 to 5 years, is power going to be better? Are we expecting a better future?
Yes, I'm actually quite optimistic about the future, and I'm optimistic because it's us. It's us to solve this problem. We don't need to rely on every other person or point fingers. It's all of us that has to do it. And if I am getting calls about from people asking me, okay, I'm trying to make a move and I'm having some obstacles, then it means that we are actually in the right direction. And with Dr. Weber's weekly radio discussions, it means that people are becoming much more aware about all of this. And as long as we are all keen and working together, collaborating, sharing expertise and trying to create this market and find innovative solutions to really address our power problem, then I'm very confident that in a few years' time, we'll be looking for much more issues that we need to address beyond power.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Ifeanyi. Thank you for the passion you bring to solving this problem. And also thanks to your company, Schneider Electric, for being a big part of it here in Nigeria and for investing in this country. We're now out of time, so we're going to have to move on, and we'll have to come back next week for another conversation. But in the meantime, the word for you Lagosians is that there is literally light at the end of the tunnel. And we are looking forward to a time in the next few years where power will no longer be a problem. So over and out, and have a good week.
Thank you. Nando.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
More news and information coming up. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey there. Do you know that your current job might not exist in 5 years? Your current or future career may become obsolete in the next decade? I mean, you're probably sitting there thinking, this isn't me, it doesn't concern me. But think again, because typists did not see the computers coming. Technology is changing Africa and the world really very fast, maybe too fast. Work, jobs, and careers as you know them are now changing drastically. Whether you know all of this or not, the real issue is how are you prepared for these changes? You can be prepared. On the 1st of June 2019, come and join experts and enthusiasts from around the world in Lagos, Nigeria at TechPoint Inspired, West Africa's largest tech conference. The venue is Pistis Conference Center in Lekki, Lagos, and discussions will be centered around these issues like the future of work, artificial intelligence, crypto, blockchain, and many more new technologies. And most importantly, what they all mean to you. To learn more and participate, log on to www.techpoint.africa/inspired. Come and learn how to be properly positioned for the future.
Ever heard about dyslexia? It is a brain condition that makes people, children and adults, experience difficulty in learning, especially reading, writing, spelling, and comprehension. What are the signs and symptoms? How can it be managed? Tune in for all these and more at 9 a.m. every Saturday for a live discussion with the Dyslexia Foundation on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to your number one talk, news, and sports station.